Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hanson, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
Oh, I'm doing great, thanks. Well, thanks to listeners for tuning in today. And on the Voice of Yoga today, we will be looking at depression and how not all depression is dysfunctional, in fact, necessary when going through the points of passage. We'll also discuss the 7-year cycle of transiting Saturn and the progressed moon to mark the points of passage. Also, by the end of the show, we will give suggestions on how to employ the Kriya Yoga lifestyle strategies to overcome the inertia of energy loss. So, Swami, first, I think we should start by explaining, well, what do you mean when you say that not all depression is dysfunctional?
Yeah, when you're going through a point of passage, you know, which is, like we had said in the description, the cycle of the progressed moon and transiting Saturn, those are the principles of manifestation, how things come into form. And in Kriya Yoga, we understand that nothing manifests whole, that in order for something to manifest, it has to split from the unified state, manifest in half, and then leave behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And so this is kind of like the depression that artists go through, where they take perfect divine vision, they put it into form, and it's never good enough. Well, part of that depression and understanding that depression is understanding the principle of manifestation, that nothing manifests whole. So completion doesn't happen in this dimension. So once you can start to understand the whole process of manifestation and you start to understand the cycles and the patterns of the progressed moon and Saturn, then what we have to do is we realize that, you know, we're in constant change. So these points of passage are periods of formations and separations. And anytime you're leaving something that's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and you're embarking on the anxiety, the uncertainty of the unknown, you should naturally and normally go through a period of distillation. This depression is necessary because this is how we grow psychologically and spiritually. But if you are in, you know, inertia, if you are stuck in this regressive cycle, then, of course, the whole condition becomes loaded. And that's when it starts to deteriorate into what we would call dysfunctional depression. Does that answer your question? Or?
You know, it does. When you're into that point of dysfunctional depression, I think we all know some of the signs are like, you know, people who can't, you know, get themselves out of bed in the morning, they may overeat. They're basically, you know, showing signs of extreme unhappiness. So how do those people, you know, instead of seeking medical assistance, how would they try to overcome that kind of dysfunctional depression?
Well, I think the first thing that you want to be able to do is understand your condition, you know, because, you know, from a Kriya Yoga perspective, we're having problems basically because we're disconnected. You know, that we're drawing from a source of sustenance that isn't going to give us the return that we're looking for. you know, we're drawing from duality, and therefore, you know, we're trying to do something with a source or a resource that isn't capable of giving us what it is that we're looking for. That's why in the Yoga Sutras, the four major obstructions to enlightenment are fear, ignorance, laziness, and selfishness. Now, laziness is oftentimes, you know, depression sometimes can be actually labeled more as laziness in this model. And part of it is that you just don't have the ambition, you don't have the enthusiasm for living. And the underlying reason is because we're disconnected from a source of sustenance that gives us inexhaustible energy. And that's why in yoga, brahmacharya, the term brahmacharya meaning carrier of Brahman, the Hindu concept of God, you know, is the one-size-fits-all solution to those four obstructions. Now, once you recognize that you're disconnected, then, of course, you need to put a game plan in, well, what is it that I'm trying to do? Because you're trying to separate from one source of sustenance, our attachment to the tangible aspects of reality, and reconnect to something that's invisible and intangible, but also, as we have been saying, it's unchanging and inexhaustible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Kriya Yoga comes in, you know, because it's a game plan, it's a lifestyle in how to become connected to this more reliable resource. And of course, it, you know, I mean, using terms like God or prana or, you know, can be very lofty and obscure. But to understand it simplistically, all you're trying to do is train your body to look for what it really does need to validate itself.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you can go through for our listeners what the actual points of passage are, and what do we look for to know that we actually are going through one of them? I mean, is it like, you know, every 7 years? I mean, how does one know?
Yeah, it's approximately every 7 years, seven and a half years, generically. There are going to be things that are very individual about these, because when the progressed moon and transiting Saturn go to what's called hard aspect to your natal position, that's approximately every 7 years. So say, for example, from birth to age seven, we're considered infants. And as infants, we need mom and dad. Because if somebody out there doesn't like you, you can't provide for yourself and you're going to die. Your first point of passage is at age seven. Now, that is when you reach what we call the age of reason. That means that now you have to separate from your infantile defense mechanism, the pattern that your body came in with, and reconnect to something that's going to produce a progressive cycle, the growth cycle. This is a period of separations and formations. This is where you separate from mother, and not your actual parent, but the pattern, and you start to, you know, make decisions based on seeing yourself as a separate entity. So you start to develop a sense of self independent of your environment. And again, this is a period of depression. That's why they marked these periods with points of passage and rites of passage. For those of us, you know, that have experience with Christianity marked it with sacraments. You know, when you were age seven, I remember that they had what was called the Holy Communion. That this was this you know, of course, I do agree with Ralph Waldo Emerson that the church blew the whole thing with the concept of the Eucharist, but it was marked. It was a point of passage. This is where I had now reached the age of reason. It was no longer appropriate for me to make decisions based on my feelings, that they had values that I had to regulate my behavior with. Now, your next point of passage is around age 15, and that's when we have to format our sexuality. See, sexuality has to be taught. Just like, you know, a wolf has to be taught how to hunt food, instinct, preservation, and survival only gets us so far. And again, we have to separate from the parent of the opposite sex and start to format our sexuality and be able to present it to a social setting. Now, of course, if you never had your first point of passage, the test of formatting sexuality is the whole thing of courage. You know, to be able to face things like rejection, disappointment, frustration is an important thing, but it tests this internal connection. Am I drawing from the inside world, or am I drawing from my outside world? And again, we go through this period of separation, depression. Your next point of passage is around 21, and that's when you have to format your value system. And you separate from your genetic inheritance, your parental influence, your social cultural conditioning, and you start making choices based on what works for you as an individual. And again, it's a period of depression. Now, the last phase in that cycle is when you're about 28 to 32, because that's, Carl Jung called it individuate. This is when the bill is due. This is when you have to emerge as an individual. And again, go through this period of depression. It's a period of formation and separation. But for those of us who have not gone through these periods and these points of passage and developed our own independence, we're the ones that are dealing with what is commonly referred to as guilt. Now, this isn't the genuine feeling of remorse, but it is a defense mechanism for depression. And it's loaded with guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom. And these are the things that most of us are struggling with today. But it all comes back to the simple fact that we have not separated from our infantile defense mechanisms. You know, even today when they do statistical studies with teenagers, it's not sex and drugs that motivate them. It's peer pressure. It's my need for approval that is driving my behavior. And that's the problem. And again, coming back to, well, how do you fix it? Well, you've got to get connected and start growing psychologically and spiritually.
So you could basically be a 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old person and not have gone through the necessary rites of passage. Would that be right?
Absolutely. That's what we've been saying all along, that you can chronologically age and psychologically, spiritually remain in this underdeveloped state. And typically that's what's happening. We're surviving, but we're not growing. And that's the missing part in our socialization today.
Well, as somebody who believes that they're on a spiritual path, how do they know if, what's the main telltale sign that would tell somebody if they have grown spiritually?
Well, I think some of the things is that you're healthy and you're happy would be probably good indicators, but not the end-all be-all. The other thing is that if your inner environment is percolating with, the term is called enthusiasm. See, with regard to human development, there is a whole metamorphosis of our feeling state, where we initially start out, we're excitable, and we're reactive, and we're emotional. Now, as we start to grow psychologically and spiritually, we develop our psychological organs, we develop discipline and willpower. This excitement and emotionality evolves into what's called ambition and intelligence. And then as you continue on your practice and your development evolves, then it starts to emerge into wisdom and enthusiasm. And of course, the origins of the word enthusiasm means with theos, that you're in tandem with this secret source of sustenance.
All right, great. Well, you know what? So I'm going to have you hold that thought so we can hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I have some questions from our listeners that I would like to ask you. I think now would be a pretty good time to start. So my first question that we have is, when going through the seven-year cycle, is there a part of you, like your essence, that you shed to be replaced by a new spiritual growth, kind of like a death or a rebirth?
Yeah, I think that's almost exactly what happens. You know, that who you were changes completely. You know, in the same way that a caterpillar is very different than a butterfly.
It's very interesting that you say that, because that kind of leads into another question that one of our listeners has too. And you may have already touched upon this, but it is, does the stress and act of going through your trials and or the depression that we speak of, does it make you come out of the cycle stronger, like the caterpillar that pushes its way out of the cocoon to become the butterfly?
Well, to answer the question, it should. The thing is that what you don't want to do is get all caught up in the stress and the depression and miss the intention. The whole intention is to emerge as, you know, a healthy, happy, enthusiastic individual with this sense of connectedness to a greater whole. And those are the things that you've got to be careful of, is that you don't get just caught up in the conduct. You know, it was kind of like when the Buddha was practicing extreme asceticism, and he was practicing self-mortification. And a musician went by in a boat, and the musician was giving a class, and he said in the class that if the string is too tight, it will snap, and if the string is too loose, it won't vibrate. And that was when it dawned on the Buddha that this middle road was the most important thing. You know, that indulgence made the string too loose, but extreme asceticism made the string too tight. And the whole thing is that you want to make sure that your practices are designed to do something, that it's not, you don't want to get caught up in the practice and miss the purpose. And that's where, you know, this connection is of the utmost importance, because that's what gives us the qualities that we're looking for, you know, for peace, love, happiness, goodness. It comes from the source of sustenance, not the discipline. Do you follow that?
I do. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It kind of leads me to another question, and that is, we said earlier in the program, we started that we were going to give suggestions in how to employ Kriya Yoga lifestyle strategies. So what do you recommend that a person do? What's some of the first few strategies you think somebody should employ?
Well, the most basic and the most simple thing that you want to do is you want to build your life from strength. And again, coming back to the secret of life is get accustomed to using what you really do need as a symbol that will produce a feeling in your body that you're happy. You know, and so what I would suggest people to do is to start to get in touch with their breath. Your number two life-sustaining force. Very few of us are celebrating the availability of our next breath. Our body's patterns are looking for something more tangible. Now, intellectually, nobody can dispute the importance of breath because it's provable. You can put your head underwater, and inside of, for most people, a minute, your heart's racing, your hands are sweating, and you're in a real life-threatening situation. Now, developing a sense of value, worth, and appreciation for what you really do need is one of the best exercises you could do to employ to start breaking the inertia. Start feeling the joy of the availability of what you really do need. Start changing your thoughts. Then you also have to understand the relativity of everything. You know, because if you're not thinking right, if you're not breathing right, if you're not hydrated, if the food you eat produce cravings and disturbances, and you're not exercising right, then it's going to contribute to your demise. But in order to break the depression, you know, start with skillful use of thought. Start with skillful use of breath. Keep yourself hydrated. Eliminate foods that produce cravings and disturbances. Force substances we're socialized to think there's nothing wrong with. Caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and refined sugars. These are things that undermine willpower. And if you want to break the inertia of a depression, you're going to need willpower. And so you start with baby steps. You know, start walking and then start running. Mm-hmm. But start building it. Because the formula for success with regard to fitness is you stress the organism, you nurture it, it will get stronger.
So I guess that kind of answers another question that I had, and that was, how do you know if it is a healthy depression or if there should be cause for concern? But I think you kind of just, you answered that by saying, if you don't have skillful use of thought and skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, food, and exercise, then that should be the telltale sign right there that you may be on that road of depression if you don't employ those strategies. Would that Would that be an accurate assessment?
Well, see, the whole thing is that what we really want to do is we want to feel connected to this part of ourselves that is whole. Because that's, for the most part, that's what we all want. We want to be whole, and we want to be complete. And so even if you're not depressed, you know, just because you have what we call worldly happiness or intellectual happiness, it's not the same as eternal happiness. And, you know, those are the things that become very difficult to distinguish between, especially if you are, you know, worldly happy. You know, who wants to jump out of a perfectly good airplane? If you're depressed, it's actually a good thing because now you've got reason why you'd want to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody wants to explore this further, what classes do you recommend that you can offer that would help?
Well, I think just about everything we're doing right now, you know, would assist people, whether if you took, you know, if you signed up for the Spiritual Advance and you immersed yourself in everything that we do. Or if you just decided, well, I just want to do mantra, or I just want to do an asana class, or maybe I'll take theory one. But a lot of it is you have to educate yourself. You have to understand just how complex this human experience is. And then, you know, you have to also recognize that it's my responsibility to unlock this potential, that nobody can do it for me. And, you know, by just sitting around and waiting for it to happen to you, you're going to wait forever because it doesn't happen by itself. So anything that we do is going to point you in the right direction. And depending on whatever your window of interest is, will be determined by just how far you go with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just reminded me of something, too, that somebody had asked me the other day, well, how do I take advantage of the online classes? So I just wanted to explain to listeners what they have to do that. First, what you have to do is you have to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com, and you just click on the link that says online classes. That is going to direct you to PowHow. And then from there, you can select the classes of your choice. So I wanted to put that out there so that people knew exactly how to take advantage of the online classes. And then from there, they can take advantage of what you had said, the mantra classes, the theory classes, and so on. So I guess now would be a good time to start the closing. So I invite the listeners out there to visit the website that I just mentioned. Follow us on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. Also, keep those questions and comments and curiosities coming because we do enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in to our program next week. Swami is going to discuss next week's new moon, which is going to be on the 25th, and that is where the sun and moon will be in Virgo relating to the development of the lower mind. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our discussion today or about our show next week?
Well, I'd just like to tell everybody, you know, to just, again, focus on what is there. You know, build your life from what is there. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you can do. If you can hear me, if you can see me, if you can walk, if you know, I mean, there's things that we can all celebrate. And keeping yourself and your attitude percolating, you know, mm-hmm. generating some sort of forward movement with your life. Because a body in motion requires a lot less energy to keep in motion then a body at rest requires to stay in motion. And with that, I will wish everybody a namaste.
Perfect. Thank you for listening to our program today on The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda. We're signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.